My first time coming to Idaho, I was in 1954. And we got out of the car, and there were people there wall to wall. And I saw some of the prettiest women I'd ever seen in my life sunbathe. So I joined the crowd. They were just standing, observing, you know, looking at the beauty.
John Meeks is probably the most energetic 90-year-old you will ever meet. He has a round, open face, white stubble, and two great loves of his life. Good-looking women and Ida Wild. He remembers all the great acts that came through here. Aretha Franklin, Louis Armstrong.
The Four Tops, Dinah Washington, George Kirby, Jackie Wilson.
But the loveliest, he says, was a showgirl at Idlewild's famous Paradise Club.
One of the most beautiful girls in Idlewild.
Her name is Carlene Gill, and she says in the middle of segregated America, you could turn off the highway at the Idlewild traffic light and just feel free.
You see that blinking light, and it just looked like you just relieve all of that pressure that was on you in the cities, and you just could relax, and you know you were there with just beautiful people.
At its peak, Idlewild drew 25,000 summer visitors from Cleveland to Chicago. But with integration, other resorts opened up to African Americans, and Idlewild began to die. These days, driving through Idlewild is actually kind of creepy. It's just endless acres of forest land with some abandoned shacks. The center of town is really just the post office and the Red Rooster Bar and Grill.
Fish with potato salad and sweet potato pie.
Potato salad and sweet potato pie.
Yeah.
It's a small crowd, but it's great food, and that's where I meet Hubert Brandon. He's a tall, lanky guy from Ohio, and he has come here with a mission to save Idlewild.
African Americans have no town that we can call our own. The Italian American population, the German American population, other populations have whole communities. Why not Idlewild?
Idlewild is still a beautiful place with cheap land and rich history. But people like Brandon have been trying to revitalize this place for decades, and they still don't have much to show for it. Brandon tries to talk one skeptical visitor into just giving them a little more time.
There's going to be a restaurant that you can come to. There's going to be some attractions for your kids, some more boat launches on these
lakes.
All right,
well, I'm not going to write you off now.
Okay,
so
that's what we need.
All right.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Yet some in Idlewild say they need basic infrastructure more than they need museums.
If you wanted some milk, you got to go all the way to Baldwin.
That's like 4 or 5 miles?
No, about 17 miles. So, I mean, but it's a journey.
Ron Griffin just won the primary election for town supervisor. He sits with me outside the Red Rooster Bar and Grill one warm Friday night.
We need business up here. I mean, you got to move on to reality. You know, the past is great. We understand that. But we can't go back. You can't go back into time.
And it's time that's left Idlewild behind. John Meeks, the 90-year-old ladies' man, says he knows desegregation brought an end to the old Idlewild. But he is still hopeful that one day African-American families will rediscover this place.
It's like a child under the control of the family. He's grown. Now he can do what he wants to do. But there's one thing about it. He always returned to his roots. He always returns and reconnects with the family.
In Idlewild, I'm Kate Wells, Michigan Radio News.